Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. And a happy new year, new Methodist year to you all. Dr. Liz Cope is our preacher today and she is a local preacher and one of our circuit stewards. And Liz is going to help us celebrate Climate Sunday. And the service is going to be a little bit different. Liz has split her message into three parts. So before each part, we will hear a scripture reading, and then we will ponder the beauty of creation, and then the groaning of creation, and then lastly, the hope for creation. And after each part, we will pray together. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. Amen. And will you join me with our call to worship? Your parts are going to be on the screen in white. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For God founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Through the warmth of the sun and the blessing of rain, with all that has breath, we give glory to God. As the sun and the moon shape the day and the night, so we, children of the world, tend and care for the earth. We gather in the presence of the Creator, Redeemer and Life Giver, who inspires new life and renews it. So let's begin with our opening song, number 100, All Things Bright and Beautiful, as we celebrate together the beauty of creation, our wonderful, amazing world with its flowers and birds and animals and the mountains and the rivers and the woods. How great is God Almighty who has made all things well. Let us come before God in prayer. Glorious God, The whole of creation proclaims your marvelous work. Increase in us a capacity to wonder and delight in it, that heaven's praise may echo in our hearts and our lives be spent as good stewards of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today marks the beginning of our Circuit Climate Action Initiative. You will find lots of information about this on our Circuit website, methodistic.org.uk/climate-action. We have 9 weeks of material leading up to COP26, the United Nations Conference on Climate Change. And so we have 9 weeks, each with a different focus, a chance for you to learn about many different topics to do with climate change, and then the chance to do some different things, and the chance to tell your friends. We have postcards printed up for you that you can get from your church steward with 9 weeks of prayers on it. So let us, as Christians, be a good witness as we commit ourselves together to listen and learn from stories around the world, to speak out and act for climate justice, and to be ambassadors of hope for creation's richness. This week's theme is extreme events, and we'll be learning about those experiencing more frequent and extreme events such as wildfires, floods, drought, and for the communities that are most vulnerable. So I encourage you to go onto the website and find the Climate Action page. Today, though, we're starting with the beauty of creation. And as we do so, let's hear the first of our three scriptures being read for us by Maggie and Chris Finbow. Maggie is the Circuit Safeguarding Officer and Chris is the Circuit Property Steward, and they are both leaders at Museum Street Methodist Church.
Reading from Psalm 148.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths.
Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding.
You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth.
Young men and women, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Hello. I was trying to think of a suitable setting to record this talk, and then I got distracted with garden duties, as you do. Aha, I thought. Just the place. Here we are. If you've seen previous digital recordings, you may have seen a message I brought on the theme of Jesus as the true vine. It was earlier in the year, and the vine we can see now here in our greenhouse was then a wizened little twig with a few buds on it. Here I am in August with the vine bursting with ripening fruit. And do you know what I've done to get it this far? Very little. A little pruning in the winter and occasional watering. Psalm 148 is full of words of praise by all of creation. From the heavens looking down to the creatures at the deepest part of the deepest ocean, the sun and moon, the stars that fill the sky at night, mountains and hills, animals, wild and domesticated. And only when we get to the last three verses of the psalm are humans, young and old, men and women, told to praise God, the Creator. Over the last 18 months, when we've been unable to go far outside and traffic has almost ceased, the smog-filled skies have cleared, people have suddenly been aware of things they'd not seen before. Hearing birds in the trees, seeing wild animals close to home. Here we saw hares jumping in the field, foxes running through the undergrowth. We had a magnificent buzzard and two barn owls swooping past the house in an evening. All these things were seen almost without stepping out of the front door. Lucy Jones, writing in an article for the Guardian newspaper in May 2020, which was entitled "Noticing Nature is the Greatest Gift You Can Get from Lockdown," said, "Our lives are made from the things we pay attention to." Psalm 148 doesn't talk about exotic things we have to trek miles and miles to see. It talks about things we've seen hundreds of times before, such as the night sky, or a honeybee bulging with pollen sacs on a brightly coloured flower. And even as I'm recording this, I can hear a honeybee buzzing somewhere around in the greenhouse. A barn owl swooping across a cornfield, or a cobweb glistening with morning dew. The psalmist makes us look, not just to see, rather to really look and pay attention to what is going on. When we saw that buzzard in our back garden, it was fascinating to watch him looking around, biding his time, then flying on to the next observation spot, only then to be mobbed by a murder of crows. A wonderful term, isn't it? A murder of crows. What was it we were observing? It was creation doing its own thing, its own way, the way the Creator meant it to be. This vine here has burst into life with very little intervention from me. Sadly, also, the weeds in my garden have burst into life, also with little intervention from me. Creation continues, whether we see it, hear it, or notice it or not. We are not needed for creation. Yes, we have an important role to play, and more of that later. But creation continues without and often despite us. Think of the flowers pushing through the cracks in a pavement, or the poppies in World War I Flanders fields. So, what part of creation did you see over the last 18 months that you hadn't noticed before? And what do you see around you now that you can praise God for in creation?
Let us bow our heads now as we come before God with our prayers of adoration. Creator God, there is so much for which we praise you. For the bird song at dawn, for the vibrant colours of the hedgerow, for the crops in the field, for mountaintops and valleys, for rivers and oceans, for science and technology, for shops and schools. Help us to not only see, but to pay attention to your wonderful world. Amen. Reading our second scripture for us today as we look at the groaning of creation is Elizabeth Wellborn. And Elizabeth is a member of Woodbridge Methodist Church, but she, together with her husband David, are heading up our Circuit Climate Action Initiative.
The reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. And I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips version, because he makes Paul's complicated writings much easier to understand. And the passage is entitled, Present Distress is Temporary and Negligible. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because in God's purpose, it has been so limited. Yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. It is plain to anyone with eyes to see that at the present time, all created life groans in a sort of universal travail. And it is plain too, that we who have a foretaste of the Spirit are in a state of painful tension while we wait for that redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last, we have realized our full sonship in him. We were saved by this hope. But in our moments of impatience, let us remember that hope always means waiting for something that we haven't yet got. But if we hope for something we cannot see, then we must settle down to wait for it in patience.
The side of our house, we have a pond. Well, actually, it's a drainage ditch, and I'm actually sitting in it. This is the only bit of water we've got in it, and you can see it looks pretty dank and full of weed, and it's actually a bit smelly. It's the drainage ditch that channels water draining off our surrounding fields. In winter, it floods onto the lawn at both the front and the back of the house, and often will flow over onto the road. At this time of year, it's usually dry, and I've actually walked all the way down to get to this little bit of water that remains. Even when it's full, there are no fish in it. We might get a few ducks or moorhens swimming on it. The water is murky and full of whatever's been sprayed on the fields. So here I am sitting in our pond. I'm actually on the dry bit of the pond. And this, of course, is nothing remotely like the dried up riverbeds in many countries around the world. Did you know that Europe has two of the countries at the highest risk of drought? Moldova and Ukraine. The Middle East, North Africa and Asia, including India and China, all have medium to high risk of drought. Closer to home and at the opposite end of the weather spectrum, we have seen devastating floods in Germany and to a lesser extent in our own country, in Somerset, South Yorkshire and more recently in London. Greece and Turkey are struggling with wildfires.
Although I didn't experience it at close quarters, whilst we were visiting our son in Sydney, Australia, in February of 2020, we flew from Sydney to Melbourne, and from the height of the plane, you could see a huge area that was covered in grey-brown smoke with a central red core, which I assume was the wildfires burning. We used to think that temperatures were high when they were in the high 30s, but now temperatures as high as well into the 40s or even 54 degrees Celsius in Death Valley have been recorded. July apparently was the hottest month ever recorded on Earth. 2,000 years ago, Paul told us that the whole of creation was groaning. He told us that creation was subject to frustration and the bondage of decay. This is a message as relevant now as it was then. And who is it down to? Us. There was one stark, if not blindingly obvious, fact that came out of the IPCC report in August. It is that it is human activity that has brought about climate crisis. One commentator on this passage from Romans wrote, "Sin caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it." We can directly apply that to the climate crisis. We have caused creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. There is a breakdown in the covenant relationship between the people and the earth. Way back in Genesis 8, God made that covenant promise with Noah. "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, and never again will I destroy all living creatures." This is not God's punishment. It is our action or inaction that has brought us here. Now is the time that we need to plead for God's forgiveness, coupled with our repentance and commitment to change. So thinking about that idea that sin has caused creation to fall from that perfect state, what ecological sin do we need to confess? And how can we renew that covenant relationship with this precious earth?
We come now to make our confession. Let us pray together. Creator God, maker of heaven and earth, we acknowledge our failure to live responsibly as a part of your creation. We have taken what we want without considering the consequences. We have wasted and discarded without thought for the future. Open our hearts and minds to the signs of our times, to the groaning of creation, so that we may turn from our greed and lack of vision and see a world being made anew in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our next song is number 727, and we're using a recording from Christchurch, which is a United Reformed Church, in Petswood in Kent. They've given free permission for its use. So as you sing, think about the call on our lives to look after this planet, the earth. and acknowledge that we are not doing a good job. So let's sing together, God in His love for us lent us this planet. Reading our last scripture for us today, as we look at the hope for creation, is Chris Fimbo. And Chris also participated in our first reading.
The reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is He, so expansive that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He does. At one time you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in His presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets this same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Cristiana Figueres, the UN climate chief at the Paris Agreement of 2015, said in response to the IPCC report, "Everything we need to avoid exponential impacts of climate change is doable, but it depends on solutions moving exponentially faster than impacts. We may feel that the climate crisis is too big to handle. What difference can I make?" Think back to that image of creation being a collection of individuals making up the whole to bring the most beautiful harmony together. If one player in an orchestra consistently plays the wrong note, the harmony is ruined. Each musician is essential to the whole piece. I've tried to plant more flowers in my garden that attract pollinators. We've got some beautiful hollyhocks here. The neighbouring farmer, he whose fields drain into our pond, has placed a beehive in his fields, and hopefully will, as a consequence, consider what chemicals he uses on his crops. Our Bible passage from Colossians gives us a unique perspective of personal, global, and cosmic redemption and reconciliation. Christ, who is divine, came to earth in human form to live amongst his creation. He was God's human representation and revealed God to us. He saw firsthand creation at work. He died on the cross for that creation, not just for me, not just for humanity, but for the whole of creation. We might be quite used to thinking, Christ died for me, as amazing as that is. But to think that Christ died for all of creation seems almost unbelievable. Who would do such a thing? The cross is much more than personal salvation. Jesus, through his broken body on a broken tree, takes all that is alienated, polluted, and corrupted and reconciles and restores it. In the Message version that we heard, it says, "Through Christ, all broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies because of his death." These are such great words of hope that this broken and dislocated world and everything in it has a chance through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is not only the creator, but the sustainer, holding everything together, protecting and preventing it from disintegrating into chaos. It is through Christ that we can be brought back into the correct relationship with God, with the whole of creation. These hollyhocks were placed to encourage pollinators in our garden, and they have brought colour and enjoyment and real nourishment for those insects that visit. And those insects in turn will pollinate the crops that will feed, that will give us food. And that food will help us to grow and develop. Multiply that up by millions of times, and from my tiny backyard to the rest of the planet, and who knows, it's all doable. And so our response to the climate crisis is, at an individual level, a corporate and a global level. God's creation has no borders, no exclusions. God is not selfish. He does not keep things for himself whilst others suffer and go without. We can all play our part as our personal response to what Jesus did for us individually, and also for what he did for all creation on that cross. How can we hold together the personal reconciliation that Jesus brings and the cosmic? And what signs of hope can you bring as your response to all that Jesus has done?
Let us pray together and come before God with our intercessions. Creator God, giver of life, you sustain the earth and direct the nations. In this time of climate crisis, grant us clarity to hear the groaning of creation and the cries of the poor. Challenge us to change our lifestyles. Guide our leaders to take courageous action. Enable your church to be a beacon of hope, and foster within us a renewed vision of your purposes for the world. We pray especially this week for those experiencing more frequent and extreme events, such as wildfires, floods, drought, and for the communities that are most vulnerable to these events. Especially lift up California, with two big fires burning there out of control. But we also hold up Greece, Turkey, Italy, Russia, and Canada, who have also seen unprecedented fires in the last couple of months. Hold safe the people of Louisiana as Hurricane Ida hit them this week. And we pray for our whole world as the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported the global land and ocean surface temperature was the hottest July on record. In silence now, we pray for other situations and those we name in our hearts. With joy, we entrust our prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, as we say together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our worship services today, to Dr. Liz Cope for her 3 mini messages. Thank you, Liz. To Maggie and Chris Finbow and Elizabeth Wellborn for reading our 3 scriptures. to Christ Church, United Reformed Church in Petswood in Kent, and also to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for their musicianship. It will be lovely to know that you've been worshipping with us today. Above this video, if you're on the Methodistic website, is a form for you to type your name, your location, and push the red button, and we'll know that you were here. As those of you watching these services regularly will know, we're unable to celebrate communion by video. So on the first Sunday of the month, we've been praying and breaking bread, drinking a cup of water with one another. With our churches now reopened for worship, there's the ability to celebrate Holy Communion in person each month. So I've decided to no longer include a breaking of the bread in these services. If you are homebound or otherwise unable to attend church to receive communion, then please contact your local church to arrange for your minister or a pastoral visitor to bring Holy Communion to you at home. This afternoon, the 5th of September, at 3 p.m. at Landseer Road, we have a circuit service. This is going to be our first in-person circuit service that we've had since the pandemic began for the circuit. And invite you to come to that service today, and where we will launch our Circuit Climate Action Initiative, headed up by David and Elizabeth Wellborn. David will be leading our service there today. And I invite you to stay after the service, where we will have refreshments and a chance to talk to one another. You will find a lot on our Circuit Climate Action Initiative on the Methodistic website, on the Circuit website. As I said to you earlier in the service, methodistic.org.uk/climate-action. And we also have postcards with prayers for the 9 weeks of themes for you that you can get from your circuit stewards. Beginning on the 9th of September, I'm going to be running a Bible study or book study on the book called A Christian Guide to Environmental Issues by Martin and Margot Hodson. And this is part of the Circuit Climate Initiative. The study is going to be at noon till 1:30 at Museum Street Methodist Church each week. You're all invited to come and attend. And do bring a picnic lunch with you to eat whilst we talk. I'm also the preacher for our circuit worship service next week, as we ponder what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, to be fishers of men ourselves, but also to be the ones that are on God's hook. Now we come to the time in our service where I encourage you to support your local church with your offerings. So let's offer ourselves to God with our time, our talent, and our treasure. And as we do so, let's commit our work, ourselves, to the work of climate action. So as the whole of creation looks with eager longing for the redemption of humankind, let us pledge ourselves anew to serve our Creator God, the Father, who is maker of all things, the Son, through whom all things are made, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who renews the face of the earth. Let's say this together. O Lord of life and giver of hope, we pledge ourselves to care for creation, to reduce our waste, to live sustainably, and to value the rich diversity of life. May your wisdom guide us, that life in all its forms may flourish and may be faithful in voicing creation's praise. May the commitment we have made this day be matched by our faithful living. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 536, as we trust and hope that God is holding us and the world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got the whole world. You and me, sister, in his hand, he's got you and me, sister, in his hand, he's got you and me, sister, in his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the little tiny baby in his hand, he's got the little tiny baby in his hand, he's got the little tiny baby in his hand, he's got the whole world. He's got everybody here in his hand. He's got everybody here in his hand. He's got everybody here in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole.
Go from here, filled with the wonder for God's creation. Go and learn and speak out and be an ambassador for hope in the world. And the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with each one of you, now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.